You know, that just so encouraged my heart. The devil's doing everything he can to stop the church. And if he can stop you, you know, how many people can't, they can't come to church? Well, Super Bowl Sunday, I can understand. But, you know, I got a runny nose. I can't go to church. I got this, I got that. I can't serve God because of, we had a guy here, John Bishop. He had cluster migraine headaches. He came in and looked at the auditorium. He had these glasses. He had his regular glasses. Then he had another pair of glasses out in front of those, and then another one out here. And he wanted to see the auditorium. Well, he hooked them on his glasses, came in, and he looked, and he said, "I've got to take them off." And he took them off. But he saw the auditorium. But he said, "When I look through these," he said, "if you take a pair of binoculars, turn them around backwards and look in the big end, look at," he said, "that's what I see. And it makes everything look way far away." but anyway, the Lord's not through with you yet, so just stay in the battle. Just stay in the battle. Just keep going and serve the Lord with all you have as long as you can. And you'll be so glad you did. Tonight, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I will try to make this short and as sweet as I can, but it's really not one of them sugar sweet kind of sermons, and it's not. But it's just a reminder of where we are. You know, last week I cut a thing out of the Anchorage Daily News. It was, you know, about so wide and that tall in the Anchorage Daily News. It said Matanuska, Susitna Valley residents encouraged to buy a gun and bullets and learn how to use it, because the day is getting very close when you're going to have that, because the Alaska State Troopers, I didn't realize the Matsu Borough is as big as the state of West Virginia. And you've got a handful of troopers that's patrolled. And he said, you know, people at Trapper Creek, different places. He said, they call the police. It'd take 4 or 5 hours to get somebody there. So our world is changing rapidly. It's changing more every day. But it's because it's lining up with this book. And our God said it's going to be this way. And tonight, I actually called this sermon, "Nobody Gets In, Nobody Gets Out." Based on, I think it was Matthew 27. We'll be back here at Revelation 19 just a second. But in Matthew 27, verse 63, it says, "The next day the chief priests and the Pharisees came to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.' Pilate said unto them, 'You have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can.' So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." No one gets in, no one gets out. But they couldn't stop him. They could. All the devils in hell couldn't keep Jesus from coming out of that grave. And sure enough, he did. And he came out because he loves us. You know, he died. When he died on that cross, and his God the Father had to forsake, had to turn his back on him, because Jesus became sin for us. He took all the sin of the world and had to face creation with all the sin of the world on him. This is the Son of God. And I think that's the worst thing that ever happened to him. He didn't know any sin, didn't have any sin. But he took all of our sin. He took everybody's sin. You think of the lowest, most vile, rotten sinners, he took their sin too. He died for your sin. He was resurrected from the dead for to pay your sin debt and to prove who he was. And he's back in heaven now and getting ready to come back and get us out of here. And that's what I'm going to preach for a few moments on tonight. What time you want to be done, preacher? 20? Whenever I get done. Okay. All right. That's like open season. In season, out of season, open season. But anyway, I'll try not to keep you very long. But anyway, so no one gets in, no one gets out. Now, the religious crowd said, we're going to stop Jesus right here. But they couldn't. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you would cleanse my own heart from any sin in my own heart and life. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would have free reign in my own life. Lord, I pray for every person that's listening tonight that you would open their hearts to your word, and Lord, speak to us, and Lord, help us, give us the courage to do whatever it is we need to do when we're done. If there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, I pray tonight they would come, they would trust you, receive you, be birthed into your family. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, please speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, and Lord, draw me closer to you, I pray now in Christ's name, amen. Jesus may come before we get done tonight. He may come before you get home tonight. We don't know when he's coming, but I do know it's getting closer. It's closer than it's ever been. I'm positive of that. But he's going to come and take his bride out of here. In Revelation chapter number 19, the Bible here says that in verse number 1, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Skip down to verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise God. Came out saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great thunder, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. 57 years ago, my wife and I got married. This coming August 25th will be 58 years. And my wife, she was just so beautiful on the day we got married, but things have changed. She's more beautiful today than she was then. And but the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, the rapture is going to happen here, and the church is not independent Baptist church, the church, the body of Christ, everybody that's saved, that loves him. The rapture is going to take place when that last one gets in, when the bride puts on her last earring or, you know, whatever part of her garment it is. But when the last one is in, the bride is fully dressed and the wedding is on. That's what this is talking about. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You know, you never fool with a man's wife. One of the best ways to get yourself hurt bad is start fooling with a man's wife. You know, I never did play well with others when it came to my wife. Never did. And the Lord Jesus is very possessive of he's very jealous of his wife, the church. You know, but you think of how the church has treated him up to that point, you know, we're unfaithful to him so many times. We go after strange gods. We grieve him. But he still loves us. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now tonight you have an invitation to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You have an invitation to come to the wedding. You have an invitation to become part of his bride. Listen, if you died right now, if right now you had a massive heart attack, would you cry out to God to save you, to forgive me, to cleanse me of my sin, to, or are you saved? Listen, I'm saved tonight. January 24th, just a few days ago, I was saved for 48 years ago. And I don't worry about, matter of fact, dying anymore. It's like you're getting promoted. You know, I can't be sad for someone who's saved and they're not going to be facing the next election year. They're not going to be facing what all new items the devil has in store for us. I can't believe the stuff that's going on in this country today. I started to make a remark about Cupid, being that it's Valentine's Day, but I decided not to. You're live streaming, right? So I thought I better not say that. But anyway, you got to be careful. In the day and age we're living, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. But listen to what John said here. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, I look, you know, when we get to heaven, I say, Betty and I have been married for a long time, and I always thought we get to heaven, God's going to have something for her and I to do together. You know, we're still going to be a team in heaven. I just believe that. But the Bible says there's no one married in heaven. Nobody going to be given in marriage in heaven. There's not going to be anybody jealous of anything. There's not going to be anybody getting angry. You got more room in your mansion than what I got. And there will be none of that. We will not think like we think now. And we're part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are His. Now, you know how good a woman feels when her husband stands up for her in heaven? The devil's going to come and do something to Jesus? No. No, he's already left town by then. But I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Skip on down to verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen to this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is a true wild game supper. This is a true wild game supper. Verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both small and both free and bond, both small and great. This is going to be horrible. And the Bible clearly says God will not be mocked. You know, a lot of people are mocking God. Like the priests and everybody, they mock God back here. They mock Jesus. But it's not, God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I mean, you can take that one. You take that one to the bank. He is not going to be mocked. He's not going to let it go. You know, a lot of people today don't understand where we are today and how close we are to the judgment seat of Christ, to the white throne judgment, where all lost people will be judged. Lost folks will be judged at the white throne judgment. Saved people, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And not to whether we're saved or not, but we'll be judged for our works. We'll be rewarded. We'll get everything we've got coming to us. I went to a little girl's birthday party down in Seward a couple of days ago, Saturday. And this little girl, just 1 year old Saturday. Her name's Abby. And Abby had a truckload of gifts. I mean, she had gifts that would cover the first two rows, Just presents, 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 presents. Stacked on top of each other. Presents, presents. Abby didn't care. She didn't care. I mean, she liked playing paper. She liked, you know, playing the box, something shiny. It could be a ribbon, a bow, something. She didn't care about all the gifts. She didn't know. And, you know, there's a lot of God's people that do not understand, been saved for a long time, but you don't understand what God has in store for you. You know, there's people sitting here tonight, maybe you're not saved, and you have no idea of what God wants to give you, do through you, for you. He wants to use you, and He's got all this stuff He wants to give you and bless us with, but we don't know. That's why you come to church, and you learn. You get saved, and then you start growing. You start learning. That's why we have the Bible college here. But then there's those of us that are saved, and there's a lot of people who've been saved for a lot of years that do not understand what all God has in store. He wants to bless you with all this stuff. I don't want to get to heaven and see all these shining crowns and everything over in this corner. It's Mark Stan Roach. Oh, man, look at this. Look at this. And Jesus said, just a minute, Stan. Poof. And it goes up in smoke. No, that's what you could have had. That's what I had for you. But because of rebellion and different things in your life, you desired more to be over here than over there doing what I told you to do. You desired to be home watching the Super Bowl than to be in my house. You were going to lead her to Christ, but you were off watching Super Bowl. So Betting led a young lady to the Lord the other day there at Joshua's Church, 20 years old. She came in. She said, "I want to know about this salvation." But there's so much that God has for us, but I fear that we miss it, and we're going to miss it. But Revelation chapter 19 talks about just some bad stuff that's going to happen. Now, we get over here to Revelation chapter 20, and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Listen, when we come to the end of our life, we're going to give an account. And tonight, if you're not saved, if you do not know Christ, you are going to appear, you're going to stand before this white throne judgment. And why? Because you entered into eternity without Christ. Listen, you don't want to go through the door into eternity without Jesus Christ. You make sure you have Him before you step into eternity. "Well, how could I do that, preacher? What if I die and I don't have time?" You got time tonight. You may live another 20, 30, 50, 100 years. But then again, you may die on the way home. You may die in your sleep tonight. Today is the day of salvation. This is God's appointed time for you to accept Him, to trust Him, and listen. No one gets into heaven without accepting Christ. There is no other way. You know, there's not, Jesus has the front door for Baptists, the side door for Methodists, the back doors for Muslims. No. There's one door to heaven. Jesus fixed it that way. The rich and the poor must go in the same door. There's no other way. So, when Jesus was crucified, Pilate was going to release a prisoner, Barabbas or Jesus. And the religious crowd talked to people and said, "Tell them you want Barabbas released." And they did. And Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And they said, "Crucify Him. His blood be on us and our children." Tonight, if you're not saved, you need to answer that question. What should I do with Jesus? You going to accept Him? I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "Preacher, I'm not going to accept Jesus, but I'm not going to reject Him either." And I said, "How do you plan to do that?" He said, "I'm not going to say, 'Jesus, I reject you.' I'm not going to say, 'Jesus, I accept you.'" I said, "Yeah, but you're doing one or the other. You accept him or you reject him. There's only two choices. Regardless of what you say, you know now. And the only man ever told me anything like that, but you got to make a choice. You want the Son of God or do you want Satan? Do you want the righteous and holy, pure God, the one that bled and died for you? Or do you want the sin and curse and stuff that the devil wants? He'll give you. He'll give you stuff. He'll keep you busy till you reach that final judgment seat. But when you enter into eternity, listen, no one's going to get in to help you at that point. Judgment's there. And you're going to be judged for your works. Even at the white throne judgment. You know, you say, well, I've been a deacon. I pastored the church for 40 years. I led a Methodist preacher to Christ that had pastored Methodist churches for 55 years. And he got saved just days before he died. Now, had that preacher died and gone to hell and stood at the white throne judgment of God, and God said, you know, and he said, God, I did great works. I mean, I pastored these Methodist churches for 55 years. Well, he'll get a cooler seat than what a mass murderer would. I don't want the coolest seat they have in hell. I don't want the place with the least bit of pain. I don't want anything to do with the pits of hell. That's why I accepted Christ. Those of us that are saved, Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, it is in righteousness, and shall not return that unto me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day you answer the question, what shall I do with Jesus? God's people came to your house. See, right now I'm talking at you as if you are now, you've died. You've died and now you've gone to hell. But one day death and hell give up the dead that are in them, and then you stand before this white throne judgment. Boy, that'll be a relief. I don't think so. You know, it's amazing. People get in hell. Let's just say you died, you went to hell, and then now you're going to be brought out and put before the white throne judgment, and you think, boy, I'm so glad to get out of that. And you haven't been there for a full day yet. Those of us that are saved, you ought to consider what your relatives are facing. What your dad and mom, what your brothers and sisters, what your best friends, the guy that you work with, what he is heading for. But you died, you rejected Christ, and now you're standing with the rich man in hell. That rich man, Luke 16:19, a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. That word bosom means to embrace, as with the arms, enclosure, compass, often implying friendship and affection. The tender affections, kindness, favor. Can you imagine the rich man in hell, burning, in torment, and he looks out there and he sees Lazarus, God's loving on him. I'm so glad you're here. It's like hugging a new baby. Listen, if you don't like babies, you don't like God. They're made in the image of God, and you can't get any more in the image of God than a brand new baby. And I mean, they're, you know, Eric's little grandson. I mean, just the sweetest little kid. You know, and I'm sure they have their bad days. I know that. I got a bunch of them. But here is God loving on Lazarus. I pray to God no one ever stands in hell looking at God loving me on me, and that person in hell saying, I wish he had told me. Now, I think about this, and I want to reach everyone that I can. But I can't reach everybody, I understand that. But this rich man, now you died, you went to hell, and here you are. You know, maybe you see the same thing. When you come to this point, you're standing there by yourself. The church isn't going to come. The church is gone. You know, so many people say, I wish that church was gone. It's going to be. You know, there's going to be famine on this earth. People are going to be eating each other because there's no food. There's going to be starvation. Through the tribulation period, I mean, there's going to be massive starvation. You're not going to be able to run to the hospital, go to the doctor, you know, have your surgery. It's just a whole lot cheaper to put a bullet in your head and dump you in the dump truck and take you out and get rid of it. I mean, no. And starvation. Church's going to be gone. Listen, you need to make sure you're saved tonight. But now you find yourself, you know, the rich man, listen to what he said. The rich man begs God to send Lazarus back from the dead. And basically God's answer is no, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will believe. He's arguing with God what God said, arguing with the Bible. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Listen, if you don't believe the Bible, you'll just have to go to hell. God gave you His Word. God said, I love you, I died for you, and I gave my only begotten Son for you. I could do not. I gave you the best that heaven had to offer. Now listen to this. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now listen. And there was found no place for them. God didn't give them a place. There was no place for them. No, there's no place for them. Back in John 14, 2, Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may. Their place was right here in John 14, 2. Their place in heaven, but they missed it. They had a better idea. I mean, I got more education than that preacher. I mean, I know more about the Bible than what he does. I studied Greek and Hebrew and Latin and all, you know, I'm somebody. I witnessed to a guy right above the camp. Anyway, I took him up some Christmas cookies before Christmas. And I gave him the cookies. And anyway, and I said, look, you need to make sure you're saved. He said, Stan, there was a guy here that told me. He said, if you die and you're standing outside the gates of heaven, God's on the inside, and God says, why should I let you in? What would you tell him? Now, I was the guy that asked him that question. And he said, you know what I'd tell him? I'd say, check the records. I've been a good man. I've done a lot of good things for people. I've always tried to help people. I said, well, glory to God. Jesus didn't have to die for you. You lived a perfect life. You've never sinned. Well, then he starts backpedaling a little bit. You must be born again. You're not going. Listen, no one's coming in. You die lost. You die without Jesus Christ tonight. You go home, you get in bed, and you think, boy, that guy was way out in right field and left field. And he was outside the ballpark. All of a sudden, you can't breathe. all of a sudden you're getting these horrible pains in your chest. Then all of a sudden your arms are throbbing. You feel like your head's going to explode. And you realize, I can't breathe. I am dying. You better trust Christ while you can. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know where I'm going to be. You know, if I had my choice, well, if I had my choice, number one, I'd go in a rapture. But if I had my choice, I'd be doing something like this tonight. God loves you. Boom, massive heart attack, stroke, boom, on the floor, dead in a doornail. Mr. Khaleesi come up and say, oh, he's dead. He's dead, dead. He's graveyard dead. That'd be a good way to go. Be a great way to go. Doing something for the Lord. Trying to point people to Christ. He said, Brother Roach, you're just not a very good preacher. I'm not very good at anything. And so that's no shock. But this is the perfect Word of God. And if you can show me that I'm wrong, I would accept that. If you show me in here, but I'm not wrong. Because this is not wrong. You find a mistake in here, understand it's between this ear and this ear. That's where the mistake is. It's not in here. God loves you. He does not want you to appear before the white throne judgment. He does not want to have to cast you into hell forever and ever and ever. He doesn't want that to happen. But you got to make a decision. Your choice, you choose sin or the Savior. You know, the Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. It's a very short season. You have a great time tonight, but you may be facing God tomorrow. Was it worth it? No. Would you go back and do that again? No. There's no one in the flames of hell tonight that would say, I'm sorry that I'm glad that I came here. Just like nobody's in heaven saying, I'm sorry I came to heaven. Listen, you must be born again. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This white throne judgment, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We as believers, we're standing there, and God says, I see here you won 3 little bus kids to me the other day. Thank you. That's a good thing. I see here that you were out knocking on doors, and you tried to tell that elderly woman about me, and she just wouldn't listen. But thank you for trying. Thank you for going. I see you had some tracks in your pocket when you got here. And thank you for that. I say, you got behind Pastor McGovern, boy, and you just were going gangbusters, just following him and doing it, working around the church. Thank you for that. You work out there at the camp. Thank you for that. I don't want to hear, I wanted you to work at the camp, but you wouldn't. I wanted you to go knocking on doors, but you wouldn't. That's not going to be good. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I say, I don't want to see the fire put to things that the Lord had for me that go up in smoke. I don't want someone else to have to win someone to the Lord that I refuse to take the time to talk to them. You know, what about tonight? What is it? And the main question is, when the book of life is open, the book of life is open, and God says, what about Brother Jimmy Bob here? Oh, Lord, his name's not in the book. He will be cast into a lake burning with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. No one gets in to help him. And no one gets out of this judgment. You want to get out of the white throne judgment? Accept Christ tonight. Invite Jesus and acknowledge Him as your Savior. He's God in the flesh. Trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. His blood is the only thing that will take away your sin. The only thing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tonight, would you come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Christian, would you come and surrender your life? You know, I'm constantly surrendering. I'm constantly going to the Lord. Lord, I surrender all. I'm sorry. I get this stubborn streak in me, and I say, God, forgive me. Help me. I mean, I'm almost every day I'm saying, I surrender. I surrender all. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you need to surrender all. Put it on the altar. Let God have it. And get back in the game. You know, I've heard people refer to the church and a ball game. Well, if this is like a ball game, I tell you what, we're in overtime. We're running out of time. And if you got a song to sing for the Lord, you better sing it. You got a sermon you want to preach for the Lord, you better get to preaching. You got someone God's laid on your heart and you want to go knock on their door and tell them about Jesus, you better go do it. Wouldn't it be something? You're going to win this beautiful elderly woman to the Lord, and you go up and knock on the door and the rapture happens. That's a wonderful place to be. You say, but I didn't get time to talk to her. The Lord knows that. Maybe she's already saved. I don't know. God knows. But God's going to judge you for what you do. What does the Lord tell you to do? You know, we're supposed to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes. I looked up that word statutes, and it said statutes are related to a person or a company. Like all the commandments, everybody keeps all the commandments, but God has statutes. God has certain commands for us. He's got commands for Pastor Montgomery, He doesn't have for me. God didn't tell me to get on the radio and the computers and all this stuff. He knew that, you know, that didn't work with me because of who I am, what I am. But it works for Pastor Montgomery. And because he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, there's a lot of people getting saved. And because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, Pastor McGovern's able to do what he does. And you're going to get rewarded for all this. All the gospel tracts this church gives out, you're part of it. How many tracts have you bought over the years? How many tracts has this church given out over the years? How many tracts have all our missionaries? I heard you took on 10 missionaries the other day. You know, there's churches that haven't taken on 2 missionaries, and they've only been there, though, for 55 years. This is exciting. And if you're not part of this, you ought to get in. You ought to get in. You want to be. You'll be so glad you did when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. And lost man, lost woman, I guarantee you will be thrilled to death. You accept Jesus, and when you close your eyes in death, the Bible says at that point you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You don't have to worry about Satan and all that's going on in this world today. Father, I ask you to bless the invitation now. Have your will and way, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor?
Hey, man, you can look up here for